from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, November the 22nd, 2023. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started with
the Daily Datagram.
Yes, sir. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, the greatest actions of love often go unnoticed. So true. Which explains, I think, the high incidence of divorce.
I don't think that's funny.
Now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Come on.
Twisted history.
Let's do this.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Okay.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. I'm not sweating that at all. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1910, Arthur Knight patented steel shaft golf clubs and immediately became a hero to millions of men in baggy plaid slacks. And it was on this day in 1935, the Pan Am China Clipper inaugurated the first commercial trans-Pacific air service connecting Alameda, California with Manila in the Philippines. Took a couple of days to get there, but it was pretty quick by the standards of those days, with overnight stops in Hawaii, Midway, and Wake Island. And Pan Am had their own hotels at each of those stops.
We're burning daylight!
This is the last podcast I'm doing before next week. Going to take Thanksgiving weekend off, or most of it. I'll be working part of it. That's just the nature of this gig, you understand. But you know, I've noticed that since social media has become such a big deal, such a big part of our lives, it's a big part of just about everybody's lives these days. And ever since it's been around, rhetoric, communication has gotten really nasty. I don't approve of it, but admittedly, I engage in it once in a while myself. I don't like all the profanity, but it's there. I'm a big boy. I was taught to handle that. But it's not that big a deal. I think the big deal is people just blurt out what they're feeling without checking themselves. Great case in point here. Far-left congressman, Representative Dan Goldman, was speaking with, you remember Jen Psaki, the Raggedy Ann, who used to be the press secretary for Joe Biden? Well, you know, she's got a regular program on MSLSD these days. And he was on her program. And he was saying that President Trump has to be eliminated.
His objective is purely political at this point. Politics don't work in a courtroom, as I think he's finding out in the New York Attorney General's case in New York, a civil case, and that's going to continue in his criminal trials. But his rhetoric is really getting dangerous, more and more dangerous. And we saw what happened on January 6th when he uses inflammatory rhetoric now, and his recent Truth Social post is incredibly scary for anyone that might be trying to work in government. And it is just unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
What? He has to be eliminated? Kind of ironic that Goldman spoke about Trump's dangerous rhetoric and then began talking about the need to eliminate him. Really? See, leftists are just too far up their own backsides. They never see the blatant hypocrisy of their own statements and their own behavior. And Goldman seems to be a bit unhinged after his party decided to trash his office because he's Jewish. What was it yesterday? I was questioning Barbara Streisand. But yeah, just a few days prior to his being on Jen Psaki's program, his office, Dan Goldman's office, was trashed by pro-Palestine protesters because he's Jewish. Yet he has the gall to attack Trump for dangerous rhetoric. Fortunately, the New York Post weighed in on this. Here's what they wrote. Representative Dan Goldman's Brooklyn office was defaced Thursday night with pro-Palestinian graffiti that read, "Blood on your hands, free Palestine, and let Gaza live." Well, the slogans were spray-painted by at least two suspects on the facade of the Jewish Democrats' Park Slope district office and on the sidewalk out front. Photos on social media show. This is what Representative Goldman and staff confronted when they showed up to work today, tweeted a fellow Brooklyn Democrat official, Doug Schneider, who shared the photos. It's a direct result of his speaking out against anti-Semitism and supporting Israel's right to self-defense. Defacing his office is not a form of protest. It's a deplorable crime. NYPD officers were already on the scene when the first Goldman staffer arrived at the building at around 8:50 a.m. Friday, a spokesman for the lawmaker told the Jewish Telegraph Agency. The building's security cameras captured at least two people vandalizing the building, but the perps covered the camera with a plastic bag, making the images unclear, Goldman's office told the outlet. Our office is accessible 24/7 by appointment, phone, social media, email, or mail, and our incredible constituent services team works around the clock to respond to outreach. Harassing, intimidating, and outright attacking the staff of a Jewish elected official at a time of rising violence and rampant anti-Semitism is dangerous and unacceptable, Simone Cantor, the lawmaker's communications director, told the Post in a statement. Okay, so that was the account from the New York Post. And this happens when your party supports radical ideologies like those on the left. You're going to support these people? You need to expect this kind of a reaction. You know, Democrats have just basically buried themselves too deep and are far too stubborn to admit that their party is now full of leftist extremists that spout the anti-Semitic rhetoric that they claimed President Trump's base spoke of. But let's be very clear about something. Trump was never anti-Semitic. In fact, he has a sizable number of Jewish people in his family. But that doesn't matter to somebody like Dan Goldman or Barbara Streisand. That doesn't matter to them. Don't hit them with the facts. Their minds are made up and can't be changed. Pity. We have an amazing case of yin and yang going on here. First of all, on the one hand, we have a lot of our troops who are suing the Biden administration for billions over Biden's vax mandate. And on the other side of the coin, the U.S. Army is begging unvaccinated candidates to enlist. And they're sending out letters to that effect. All right, first part of the story. Troops punished by Joe Biden's vaccine mandate are suing for billions in lost wages. And one of the attorneys in the case successfully brought down the anthrax vaccine. According to attorney Dale Saran, 80 to 100,000 service members, that's 80,000 to 100,000 service members, were impacted by the mandate. And this includes active duty and reservist service members. Now, according to Breitbart, former troops are suing the U.S. government for lost pay and benefits due to the Biden administration's military vaccine mandate. And that's according to one of the lawyers who successfully brought down the anthrax vaccine. His name is Dale Saran. He's a retired Marine, and fellow attorneys Andy Meyer and Brandon Johnson are representing the former troops in three separate lawsuits that they plan to turn into a class action lawsuit on behalf of all service members who were either kicked out or illegally ordered to stop. The word they used was drilling. In other words, stop their training, which in either case results in loss of pay. Now, Saran said the amount is in the billions. He says it's worth billions. That's just flat out. That's what it is in back pay. It's billions of dollars. Now, the Defense Department was recently ordered to pay $1.8 million in legal fees for a settlement over their COVID-19 vaccine requirement for troops. Now, The publication Military reported, the Defense Department has been ordered to pay $1.8 million in legal fees as settlement for two lawsuits that challenged its requirement that all U.S. troops be vaccinated against COVID-19. A Florida U.S. District Court judge awarded the money last week to the firm representing the plaintiffs, Liberty Counsel. That's the name of the firm. The cases, one involving several Navy SEALs, were filed by a total of 48 service members, the majority of whom were officers, representing all branches of the armed forces and components. The Navy SEALs lawsuit was first filed in 2021, alleging that the military services and the Defense Department had violated their right to religious freedom for categorically denying their request for religious exemptions from the COVID-19 vaccine. So we go to the other side of the coin, and we have the U.S. Army begging the unvaccinated to enlist. They've sent letters asking those dismissed for refusing to get vaccinated to rejoin the Army. You can't make this stuff up. The letter actually asks those dismissed to request a correction to the Army Discharge Review Board or the Army Board for corrections of military records. Here's what Fox News had to report on it. They said the U.S. Army sent a letter to former service members dismissed for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine, informing them they can request corrections of their discharge records, as the military branch reportedly struggles with recruitment 3 years after the onset of the pandemic. The letter, which granted traction on social media, gained traction on social media, was addressed to former service members and notified of new Army guidance regarding the correction of military records for former members of the Army following the rescission of the COVID-19 vaccine requirement. It states, as a result of the rescission of all current COVID-19 vaccination requirements, former soldiers who were involuntarily separated for refusal to receive the COVID-19 vaccination may request a correction of their military records from either or both the Army Discharge Review Board or the Army Board for Correction of Military Records. The letter, signed by Brigadier General Hope C. Rampe of the U.S. Army, Director of the Military Personnel Management Office of the Deputy Chief of Staff, their titles are just, they go on and on and on forever, goes on to link to three forms where individuals can request a correction to military personnel records, including regarding the characterization of discharge. And that right there, characterization of discharge, is a big deal. Because when you're discharged from the military, trust me, you don't want anything less than an honorable discharge. So this is either a sign that the recruitment is low, or that the military is preparing for war and needs all hands on deck. What do you want to bet? It's actually both. And either way, they brought it on themselves. We do not have the best minds available running our military at the moment. Now we have a military that's full of soldiers who are exposed to experimental mRNA treatments. That's nuts. And believe it or not, the publication Business Insider also weighed in, saying the new outreach to these soldiers comes amid a recruiting crisis for the U.S. military. In 2022, the Army fell short of its recruiting goal by about 15,000 soldiers, or 25%. That's according to those numbers there, according to the Army Times. The Army recently revived its classic Be All You Can Be campaign to combat its constant decline in recruits. According to NPR, I mean, face it, they had to go back to that campaign because their woke campaign, which was just vomit-inducing, was hideous. And it was being lampooned over in Russia, on Russia television. Now, Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth told the outlet that the percentage of young Americans who are physically fit and mentally prepared enough to join the Army has been shrinking over time and is now at about 23% of people between the ages of 18 and 24. Wormuth also said that younger people are not as interested in joining the military due to institutional skepticism. Well, can you blame them? She says, when you look at Generation Z, you see a lot of the declining trust in institutions. Well, I hasten to add here that if these institutions want trust, they have to earn it. And you don't earn it when you play these stupid, leftist, woke games. You just wait until war breaks out and all of our healthy soldiers begin dying of heart attacks. That, my friend, is not going to look good. Monday, X, formerly Twitter, filed a federal lawsuit against Media Matters, one of those George Soros organizations, and Eric Hananoki in the Northern District of Texas. And this is interesting stuff. According to the lawsuit, Media Matters knowingly and maliciously manufactured side-by-side images depicting advertisers' posts on X Corporation's social media platform beside neo-Nazi and white nationalist fringe content, and then portrayed these manufactured images as if they were what typical X users experience on the platform. The complaint added, Media Matters has opted for new tactics in its campaign to drive advertisers from X. Media Matters has manipulated the algorithms governing the user experience on X to bypass safeguards and create images of X's largest advertisers' paid posts adjacent to racist, incendiary content, leaving the false impression that these pairings are anything but what they actually are, manufactured, inorganic, and extraordinarily rare. Media Matters generated a specific intended result that was not only inorganic, but exceedingly and demonstrably rare, all while taking specific steps to obscure this in November 16th, 2023 article. Oh, I'm sorry, in its November 16th, 2023 article. The overall effect on advertisers and users was to create the false, misleading perception that these types of pairings were common, widespread, and alarming. Media Matters hid its manipulations through omissions, deceptive image selections, misrepresentations, and secrecy settings. Now, it can be recalled that Elon Musk announced early Saturday morning that his company, X Corp, will be filing a thermonuclear lawsuit against Media Matters. The second court opens on Monday. That's what he said, and it did open. Elon added that he's going to sue their board, their donors, their network of dark money, all of them. I think that would probably include Soros. Maybe both Soroses, George and son Alex. Anyhow, in his statement he released, Elon accused Media Matters of creating a fake account that then curated the posts and advertising appearing on the account's timeline to misinform advertisers about the placement of their posts. Now, Elon and X Corp caught Media Matters lying to X advertisers about their ad placements. They caught Media Matters in completely fraudulent activity. So, because this suit was filed here in Texas, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's office is involved in this, and that's a good thing, because Paxton is certainly anti-George Soros, pro-conservatism. Now, here are the facts on Media Matters research from X's press release. To manipulate the public and advertisers, Media Matters created an alternate account and curated the posts and advertising appearing on the account's timeline to misinform advertisers about the placement of their posts. These contrived experiences could be applied to any platform. Once they curated their feed, they repeatedly refreshed their timelines to find a rare instance of ads serving next to the content they chose to follow. Our logs indicate that they forced a scenario resulting in 13 times the number of ads served compared to the median ads served to an X user. Of the 5.5 billion ad impressions on X that day, less than 50 total ad impressions were served against all of the organic content featured in the Media Matters article. For one brand showcased in the article, one of its ads ran adjacent to a post two times, and that ad was seen in that setting by only two users, one of which was the author of the Media Matters. For another brand showcased in the article, two of its ads served adjacent to two posts three times. And that ad was only seen in that setting by one user, the author of the Media Matters article. Media Matters article also highlights nine posts they believe should not be allowed on X. Upon evaluation, only one of the nine organic posts featured in the article violated our content policies, and we've taken action on it under our freedom of speech, not reach enforcement approach. So, summarizing, X will protect the public's right to free expression. They will not allow agenda-driven activists or even their own profits to deter their vision. Everyone has a choice on X. User and brand control on X is superior to a year ago, and data wins over allegations. Media Matters does not reflect the user experience on X. Now, I found this interesting that on Monday, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, also a good guy, told Elon Musk that his office is investigating Media Matters. That's a good sign. I love it. Bailey jumped in and said, my team is looking into this matter. On Monday evening, the Office of the Attorney General here in Texas initiated a formal investigation into Media Matters, focusing on potential fraudulent activities. Here's what Paxton wrote on X. He said, today I opened an investigation into Media Matters for potential fraudulent activity after ex-CEO Elon Musk accused the left-wing media watchdog group of manipulating data on the social media platform. So General Paxton expressed deep concern regarding the allegations that Media Matters, a radical anti-free speech organization, engaged in data manipulation. Now, this conduct is being scrutinized under the Texas Business Organizations Code and the Deceptive Trade Practices Act. Paxton's office has emphasized its commitment to vigorously enforce laws against nonprofit organizations that commit fraudulent acts within or affecting the state of Texas. Playing hardball here. Paxton said in a statement, we are examining the issue closely to ensure that the public has not been deceived by the schemes of radical left-wing organizations who would like nothing more than to limit freedom by reducing participation in the public square. And Elon Musk responded to this new development by saying, fraud has both civil and criminal penalties. And you got to admire Donald Trump for playing hardball the way he does. Trump media is fighting back against the fake news media. They're suing 20 media outlets over reports about a report on Truth Social's losses. Now, here's an account from Just the News. They said the Trump Media and Technology Group, which operates Truth Social, on Monday announced a lawsuit against 20 media organizations over allegedly false reports stating that the company had suffered tens of millions in losses. Well, the suit filed in the Florida State Court in Sarasota County points to a recent slew of news articles claiming the company had lost $73 million, a number the company called an utter fabrication. Among the outlets, now this is where it gets interesting, among the outlets named in the suit are Guardian News and Media, The Hollywood Reporter, Miami Herald, Reuters, Rolling Stone, The Hill, Deadline Hollywood, Benzinga, Market Watch, Forbes, Axios, The Daily Beast, Gizmodo, Salon, which is one of the worst, The New York Daily News, Newsweek, MSNBC, Mediaite, The Daily Mail, and CNBC. Each defendant, in apparent coordination, reported the exact same false number within approximately 24 hours of one another, each citing to a Public Securities and Exchange Commission filing in which the mystery $73 million loss appears nowhere. And that's in the suit. The media claimed that Truth Social had lost $73 million in 2023. What was happening here is all of these media outlets that I just listed copy each other's work. That's how these stories get out there all the time. By the way, this claim that Truth Social had lost $73 million in 2023 was false. Another publication, The Wrap, reported the lawsuit comes following reports this month that Truth had lost $73 million in 2023. That figure turned out to be incorrect. The company has actually lost $31 million. It's not clear how the error occurred. The initial $73 million figure was attributed to a securities filing by Digital World Acquisition Corporation, which is attempting to merge with Truth Social. Well, there you go. But as has been the case for decades, certainly most of the 62 years that I've been behind a microphone, this has gone on by the legacy media. But it wasn't nearly so bad when I started. Back in the 60s, most of what you read in the newspapers, most of what you saw on network television was real. Now, once in a while, they'd get a story wrong and you would see a retraction printed in the paper, or they would do a special story on television correcting their stories. But today, they don't do that. They rarely do it. Only when they've clearly screwed up to the point where they know they're going to be sued. But I'm amazed at the garbage, sheer garbage that comes out over MSNBC. The stuff they're saying, I mean, it's almost like communist propaganda, Nazi propaganda. Take 15 minutes of your time aside one day and watch MSNBC, just for 15 minutes. It is hair-raising, the garbage that gets spewed out on that channel. And how they manage to continue operating in that manner is just, it's just totally mind-boggling to me. I don't think I'll ever be able to wrap my brain around it. I want to wish you and your family a happy, healthy, warm, comfy, cozy Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy as much football as you possibly can. Hope the turkey is everything you hoped it would be. And I'm going to take the weekend off myself and do the same over here at La Hacienda de Los Gallos. Now, let's head on into the Comedy Corner with Michelle Miller McNair.
Woo! I'm excited. I don't know. Y'all feeling good? Woo! Look, y'all, I am from North Carolina.
Woo! Yeah!
Simmer down. There's only one of us allowed out at a time. And you did the southern yell, too. Like, woo! Like, something's wrong with us. Like, somebody may have gooched us in the side, or we're excited. Either way, it's definitely a white girl mating call. any place in the South, you walk into any club and go, woo! Seven other white girls are like, yeah! Like, there you go. I love it. I love traveling. I was born and raised in a small town in North Carolina, like Mayberry. Okay, like Otis of Mayberry. Yeah, my town council meetings doubled as AA. Look, not only am I from the small town, I'm from the trailer park of the small town. Now, some of y'all don't understand that. Like, they'll be like, oh, the mobile home communities? No, it's a trailer park. Like, you're nodding your head and turning red like you know. Either you've been there or you bought some drugs from there. Either way. Both, okay. If you're going to say it, we'll go there. You might be my favorite crowd. Oh, yeah. Like, I hope there's no officers here because you just totally sold yourself out. You might be high right now. I'm laughing at you now. This is what's happened. You've trained. You're all excited. There's people in button-up shirts going, this is ridiculous. Don't talk about that. Do they know where they are? I love it. When I say trailer park, I mean trailer. Like my Easy Bake oven doubled as a meth lab. I got trailer park parents. I don't know if y'all know what that means. My parents have been married to each other 3 different times. Yep. My dad says things like, there may be a lot of fish in the sea. I just got mine out of a small pond. My mom's like, that's right, baby. Then she says stuff like, hey, if you're going to keep throwing that same one back, you might as well just keep it. This shouldn't be in your vows, mama. These are my parents, people. And having parents like that, I'm trying to be a good mama. I got kids. Anybody got kids? This is the best time to have kids, right? They are the most precious tax deductions I ever had. Well, in the last year, right? Right now, it's like their tax deduction, their earned income credit, their stimulus, stimulus two, stimulus three. I'm rolling for four. Let's go. I love having kids. I wasn't going to have kids. Like, well, they told us we probably were not going to have babies. And that broke my heart because I wanted some babies. 4 years, doctors are like, not going to happen. We were at one of them churches down in the south, though, and there was a preacher who was like, come on down for a healing. So I'm going to go down front because I'm going to get healed so I can have some babies. The preacher looked at me and said, show me the afflicted area. I will lay hands. It's really my husband's problem.
Once again, have a terrific weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?